matches everything.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our meeting. It is 1:30 on June 13th, 1:30 p.m. on June 13th, 2023. And time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. Here in the room with me today, with us today, is Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Wilson, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, Colin Willenrock, General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
We'll have comments from the public as item 3 on the agenda. And that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak on the sign-up cards located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *9 if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Will you please stand and join me with him the flag salute? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner Wolf, before you continue, can we take just a 5 minute quick recess? We have some technical difficulties over here.
Oh, sure. Okay, it is now 1:33, and we'll come back at 1:38. And so now, shall I repeat that? We are now resuming our meeting as scheduled. Number one in our afternoon agenda, on our agenda, is our CEO General Manager's briefing and study session. And our CEO General Manager, John Harlow, will facilitate the discussion. Thank you, John.
Okay. We just have the DEI update. Sorry. And Sherelle Gordon. Good afternoon, Sherelle.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm here to do an update in regards to our DEI initiative, and I'm so excited to report to you the things that we're doing. My consultancy this time is all about capacity building, and we've been hard at work for the past year in doing that. A couple of key points as it relates to my capacity building is working with the Inclusion Committee, where Quentin Harrington and Kelly Stickney are the vice chairs, and we've been working hard so that they can lead the Inclusion Committee. Also building capacity within the members so that they can go out within the community and within the PUD employment system to really help support the efforts of the DEI initiative. We're also working to build capacity throughout PUD with engagement norms. So what that looks like in real time is we are building out scenarios that are relevant to both the field and also office employees. And so that's going out every month. We've been doing that for about 6 months now, and it's been successful. And then I'm also building capacity within teams with special projects. So whether that's working with customer service and Jeff Feinberg as it relates to customer programming, for the mentorship program with Dawn Pressler. We've been working hard to support teens to make sure that everyone feels welcomed and valued. And so we still have a lot of work to do. We're happy and excited to be starting the roadshow again in July. So what that means is me and John will be going throughout the PUD to have conversations with teens. So that's going to be really exciting. And we're also building capacity so that inclusion committee members can do that as well. So all of that we've been doing, we've been hard at work. Melissa Collins has been helping to support me a great deal as well as the ELT members. And so we're really excited to continue the initiative and continue doing the great work. We have a lot of work to do, but we're still happy with where we're going.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have any questions?
I don't, just thank you. Keep on going.
What's been the biggest challenge about this?
And that's holistically from the past 3 years?
Other than the pandemic.
Yeah, I think the challenge has been alignment, making sure that we're all on the same page about where we're going. I think that that's a process. And I wouldn't say necessarily it's a challenge, it's just part of the work. We all have our ideas about what DEI is, it's based on our experiences. And so coming together to then decide how we move forward, understanding our philosophy of differences, takes time. And that's the work, right? That we can honor differences, that we can support differences, and that this can be an environment where we can have differences of opinion, but there's one goal. That everyone feel welcome and value at the PUD.
It's a great principle to live by in every aspect of life, work, but home and community, everything.
And I would just add to that, I mean, Sherelle articulated very well, certainly one of the challenges. It's a challenge and an opportunity. The other one, as Sherelle said again very well, everybody has their kind of own idea of what DEI is or is not. And that's some of the kind of the foundational work that we're continuing to do. One of the challenges, honestly, certain parts of the organization or even certain individuals in the organization want to go at a different pace, or everybody wants to go at a different pace. And it's one of the commitments that we made at the beginning is leave no one behind. Okay, we want to do this as an organization, as a PUD family, as a community. And so it's trying to keep everybody aligned and focused on the vision and helping each other based on what you have, kind of where your maturity level is on the DEI journey. So it's a challenge, but again, it's if we leverage it in the right way, it can actually have a good impact on the progress that we can make.
Yeah, and it's not unlike other organizations who also do this work. So it's not something that the PUD has to continue to work on alignment. It's just part of the process.
Good. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherelle.
Thank you, sir.
Next up is our interlocal agreement for Snohomish County Bridge 214 replacement.
Good afternoon. This will be the second interlocal agreement that the water shop is looking for. The first one was the Granite Falls Mountain Loop Highway Bridge, which is already in effect. This is a similar situation. The major difference between this particular bridge project, ILA, is that the previous bridge project is being done by a consultant. And in this one, the county is doing the bridge design in-house. So we'll be doing the water system replacement in-house. So the main points to replace the Jordan Creek Bridge, slated for construction next year. They're planning on bidding it in November and installing it next spring. The bridge is going to be removed during construction. We do have a secondary supply that we've had modeled We will be able to make peak hourly demand, but not fire flow for the time that the bridge is out until the water main gets replaced. Approximately 40 customers. The bridge itself is currently a one-way, one direction at a time, so it's pretty old and narrow. The existing water main that's on it was installed in 1994. Based off quantities and the county's markups, we expect to be in for around $242,000, but that won't be known until it's bid in November. So this is the location of it. It's between Granite Falls and Arlington, and that photo shows the current condition of it. You can see that it's rather narrow. So at the next meeting, we're going to request that the commission approve permission for John to sign an interlocal agreement with the county. Last two quarters of this year is going to be project design and coordination, and then next year, I assume it'll be second quarter project construction. Any questions?
I think you covered it well. I don't. Really, obviously necessary, and we're going to do the best we can to meet the budget. We don't know exactly yet.
Yeah, so far it's just based off of previous bid costs for quantities estimated.
And no supply chain issues, as far as you know.
Touch wood, I don't know. That's always the big question these days.
Right.
But it's, for the most part, it's pipe and hangers to hang it from the bridge.
Right. I think I know the answer, but now they're doing this, their design work in-house, so I'm assuming that we will be working closely with them.
Yes, okay. Yes. I'll be designing the components associated with the water line itself, the hangers, the pipe, the connections. So I'll prepare stuff for them and then give it to them, and they'll include it in their bid package.
Yeah, slight two mentions, the swinging bridge. This isn't the swinging bridge, right? This is adjacent to the pedestrian swinging bridge, is that?
It's the pedestrian bridge.
Oh, this is?
Yeah, the
not
one.
Not a highway bridge?
No.
Okay.
It's the one that connects, I think it's called Jordan River
right.
Trails.
Now I understand.
Yeah, okay. We've got a series of high-density polyethylene pipe hanging under that bridge that will continue to feed out to the north and west.
Will the new bridge be swinging, or?
No, it's going to be a solid concrete girder bridge.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your report.
Thank you, Pete.
Do you have anything more?
No, that is it.
Great. So we're very excited to recognize Marie Morrison as our employee of the month. And we'd like to introduce Sarah. Garrison, would you like to present the comments?
I would love to, thank you. Garrison Mara, Senior Manager of Power Supply. And I would like to share with you, the group here, that Power Supply is an exciting department for many reasons, but one of which is Power Supply really deals with some big numbers and some important numbers. So first, of course, we're seeking to serve about 900,000 people, 50,000 businesses with clean, reliable, affordable electricity. That's about 1/7 of the state's population, and it's a really big deal. And of course, doing that requires other big numbers. It takes about $375 million per year to make sure that we are adequate in that power supply. So over a three-year period, we're talking about $1.1 billion, which is another big deal. Beyond that, our regulatory compliance obligations could lead to big deal numbers as well. Our load is down more than 7 million megawatt hours with a 15% renewable portfolio standard. That means that we could require now more than 1 million megawatt hours of renewable energy credits per year. And any gaps result in a penalty by state law of more than $50 per rec. So we are now living in a place where the Snohomish PUD could have a maximum of more than $50 million in non-compliance penalties for clean energy regulatory policies. But of course, we don't. The opposite is true. Last year, we fully complied with all regulatory obligations for clean energy, as we always do, at the lowest effective cost of compliance that we have ever recorded in the PUD's history. How did we do it? Marie did it. Marie identified a compliance methodology that had not been successful for other regional utilities, but that could work for us given COVID load impacts if we were to take a swing at it. And we did. It allowed us for 1 year to meet compliance because of that temporary period of no load growth. And we also knew that with Marie in our corner, we could be successful where others weren't. In fact, Marie brought a definition of the word incremental that went all the way up to the state attorney general's office. It changed the state attorney general's perspective on the use of the word incremental in a way that saved the PUD $5 million. And that would have only been possible with somebody that stepped up to the challenge, had great relationships with folks along the way, and followed it through to the end. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. I'm telling this fairly long-winded story to demonstrate just one of the significant achievements that Marie has accomplished in recent years. And also just to share the approach that she uses, which is just characteristic of her work. Marie's not afraid to do the hard things, the technical things, or the things that require advancing the understanding of a group of people, which is terrific because in a rapidly evolving industry like ours, there are always technical things, hard things, and things that we need to understand as a group of people. Marie stepped up and led our contracts and compliance section of the power supply department, which is a critical area for cost management and risk management for our organization. She's led budget efforts for that $375 million budget, led cross-functional discussions for our many-layered regulatory compliance obligations, and helped organize our internal preparation and strategy for the ongoing post-2028 BPA contract itself. A pretty big number. That'll be a multi-billion dollar contract for the PUD across the term length. So Marie steps up. And while that's already a big deal, it's the way that Marie steps up that sets her apart. She's got an infectious, positive attitude, ready with a smile. She genuinely cares about the well-being of the folks that she works with. She's empathetic, and she's willing to help others be successful. As a result, she's got terrific relationships and is really effective at helping teams solve complicated problems. So before they start playing the Oscars music for my long-winded speech here, I'd like to congratulate Marie for the Employee of the Month achievement, and I will be rooting Marie on because I know that there are many more significant achievements in the future. I'm just really excited about what's next. So congratulations, Marie. Thank you for all your terrific work.
car you have for.
I better get.
Yeah.
Take two.
Yeah, we'll borrow the bar.
Does that mean I have to be nice to her? She's.
Forever.
There you go.
I need a whole box.
Oh, Marie, I read and reread all of those comments that were in our board book, and it's just astounding what you do, what you have done, and how much you're loved. You're really loved and appreciated. So this is for your whatever, your desk or your site.
And just hold this.
Yes. Wonderful. Employee of the month, June 2023. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I have.
Okay, pick this color out.
I did.
You wanted. Okay,
I great. Did. Yeah, because it matches my husband's marine collar.
Oh, great.
And.
Oh, picture, yes.
Glamour photo.
Yes. Oh, that's so nice.
I didn't see. Oh, isn't that great?
Speaking wow. A few years ago, my son is up to maybe 6 feet now. So
show this.
A few years ago.
Can we show this to the group?
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
Well, Marie, I just want to say thank you so much. Your work is so critical. Your boss is a bit dramatic. Toe to toe with Marie from Metal and saving us $5 million. That's pretty impressive. So it's also very fun to celebrate someone who comes and speaks to us on a regular basis. So congratulations, by evidence of all people in the room, you're just an amazing team player. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, just a comment. He has to be that way to keep us in line. Learned over the years. Well, my dear, I've had to make some notes because I'm getting forgetful in my old age. But, you know, I like the money. You know, we'd be talking in terms of the information we received, $3 million. I mean, that's not. Chump change, I guess we'd say, and the potential for a lot more in the future. And you work on stuff that really, you know, customers don't know in terms of what a lot of you folks do, the technical aspects of your job, but you're right there in terms of providing them, you know, with good service, affordable service, and reliable service. You know, it's, and what you do, you're really smart. This is really complex stuff. And I was looking at your write-up over the weekend, I'm thinking, God, I'm really jealous of you. But anyway, great work, really great work. And we're expecting a lot more fun. As Garrison, I'm sure. Did you have any comments?
Yes, commissioners, this one might work for me now. I thank you so much for all of this. I keep telling myself I wouldn't be able to do this if I was alone, but my team is really awesome. My manager is excellent. I'm really very happy to be part of a wonderful team. It's not just me, it's all of us. Mm-hmm. So I want this at home. I'll probably put it right there with my team because it's really a team effort. In 2011, I was traveling to Everett and I told myself, I want to work at PUD something. And I had just been here maybe 4 years, this country 4 years. And my dream came true and I'm very happy. Thank you so much for it.
Well, we're very happy.
We're so glad you came.
What a talent. Yeah. Just keep bringing that money in. Quick learner.
So,
did you have family here with you?
Yes, I have.
Is anybody taking pictures?
Can anybody take a picture of it? Thank you.
Here we go.
And she can take, well, no, with her family.
Yes.
With us. Why don't we step aside and get a picture?
You're going to hold this one?
And make sure that she takes it.
You hold the award, and I will hold this. You can hold the award of photo.
That's good.
What a yes or.
All right, family. One, two, three. One more, please. And here you go.
Good job. Can you do one with us?
Oh, sure, sure.
I don't know, I'm really bossy, I guess.
Just tell me when to smile.
Put you in the center. Let's get you in the center.
No. All right, ready? One, two, three. Smile. Okay, one more time. One, two, three, smile. Wait, Commissioner, no. Okay, let's do one more. Okay? One, two, three, smile. Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was a whole lot of fun.
This is super slow.
All right, that was great. We're just so fortunate to have you and so many wonderful people who work so hard with you. We're up to the part of the meeting where we have comments from the public. And we do have one person in the room who would like to make a comment, Mr. Keeler. Are there any comments from the public on items not on the agenda? Is there anyone else?
Mr. Keeler, was your you provided us with a page from our update on our budget forecast.
Yeah.
And did you want to make comment during that when we received that information?
From last month. I hadn't thought about that option. I can do whatever is best for the commission. If you want me to hold until the public comments section of the report, I can certainly do that.
Well, I can see it. I apologize, Commissioner Wolf.
Okay, no, actually, your topic is more under commission business 7C. So should we wait and you can talk about this at that time?
Sure.
All right, we'll do that. I'll keep your card. All right. Is there anyone else?
Yes, we have one person on the line, Commissioner. It's Joshua Talley.
Okay. Mr. Kelly, would you say Kelly?
Talley, could you please unmute?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Hi. I live in Mallee Terrace, Washington, and I'm wondering about, this isn't anything related to the, the topics in the meeting as forth, but it's wondering about the new smart meters going out.
What would you like to know about the smart meters?
So I was curious about the timeline, about like when and like what areas are being serviced first with the smart meters.
Now, do we have the ability to answer at this time a little bit, or do we have to get back to him from staff?
Yeah, it may be more appropriate to just, if we could get his question, and then we can get his contact information and provide a more detailed response.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that would be a good way to do it.
Is that acceptable to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I think we have notes about your question, do we? Okay, we'll get back to you. Staff will study this and get back to you to give you a more complete answer. We do have news that we're starting the rollout right away to the friends and family group.
Yeah, the only thing we would need though is his contact information.
Sure. Oh, okay. So we won't ask for that. Do we need that on the? No. Could you contact us by email and give us your contact information, your name, address, and phone number, Mr. Talley?
Yes, I will.
Okay, great. You can send it to commissioners@snowpod.com.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Moving on to the consent agenda, we'll now consider approval for the minutes of the regular meeting of May 23rd, 2023, and the special meeting of June 6th, 2023. Also, bid awards, professional services, contracts, and amendments, in consideration of certification and ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are none.
Okay. Are there any questions from you, commissioners? Commissioner Olson. Thank you. Sorry.
No.
Commissioner Lovell.
I have nothing.
I'm sorry about that. And I have none either. Okay. Let's vote. Vote aye if you're in favor and nay if you're not.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is approved. Now, items for individual consideration. We're going to consider a motion accepting the first quarter 2023 monitoring report, financial conditions and activities. Call for a motion.
I move approval.
Yes, the motion is I move accept.
Yeah. Oh, that's different.
My apologies, I'm with acceptance.
Okay. So I'd like to introduce Sean Hunstock, who will provide a presentation. Okay, welcome, Sean. Thank you for coming to do this.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm Sean Hunstock, Senior Manager, Controller, and Auditor. I have in the packet the first quarter financial report. Excuse me. There we go. You've seen these reports before. Juliet Anderson presented them in the past. So the format is very similar to what you have seen in the past. The green highlights are good, and the orange highlights are not as good numbers. So just real quickly, and we'll dive into each of these items separately. For the first quarter of 23, we did have positive net income of $25 million. It has declined from the first quarter of 22, but it is still a positive number of $25 million. The total revenue increased by $14 million to a total of $226 million. And total operating expenses increased by $34 million. The largest component of that increase was the purchase power costs. And I know that you've had reports from staff earlier this year about those items, and we'll dive into that a little more here on a future slide. So for the operating revenue, the retail sales were up by $5 million. That is a byproduct of a general rate increase in April of 22, as well as additional consumption and some growth in the customer count as well. The wholesale revenue was largely flat. I'll touch on that a little bit later. The volume of wholesale power sales decreased significantly, but the rate went up. So if you look at the total revenue, which is the product of the volume times the rate, we were relatively flat, although the volume certainly decreased in the first quarter of 23. Other revenue was up by about $10 million. A large component of that, about $7.25 million, was a power dividend distribution from BPA. And that was for the first quarter, $7 million. That'll be a total of $23 million for this year. On the megawatt hours billed, the 23 numbers are in blue and the 22 numbers are in orange. This graph represents the electric system's billed megawatt hours for those 2 years. The residential energy increased slightly, about almost 4% increase at a slightly higher rate. The commercial and industrial energy billed was slightly higher in 23 as well compared to 22. The volume of wholesale sales went down significantly. That was largely due to the need for the PUD to use that power to provide to our customers rather than selling it on the wholesale market. So again, as I mentioned earlier on the previous slide, the volume of wholesale sales went down significantly. However, the rate was higher, as you can see in this graph. So when you compare the total revenue for wholesale for the 2 years, it was about equal, but obviously at a much lower volume, but a higher rate for 23. On the expense side, total operating expenses, again, were higher by $34 million. The operation and maintenance costs were higher by about $2 million. One thing that I'll note there is the energy efficiency expenses were up by about $1.3 million for a total of just under $3 million for the quarter. So a significant increase in the energy efficiency expenses in the first quarter. As I mentioned earlier, the purchase power costs were up significantly, about $31 million for the quarter. A large portion of that was from the month of January, but again, for the quarter in total, it was $31 million increase. And then taxes and depreciation expense were about equal to the prior year. Digging into the power supply a little more detail, the BPA block numbers were somewhat consistent. The volume was a little higher. That is based on projected load. BPA slice was much lower and at a higher rate. That was based on the snowpack, the water, and the dam. Again, you've likely heard many other reports on the purchased power costs and the supply from BPA slice in particular, again, much lower for us as well as other BPA customers for the first quarter. The district generation was lower as well. It was the environmental considerations, the rain, the snowpack were not just an issue with BPA, but for us as well. So lower water levels, behind the dam, running through the dam, so generation was lower for district generation as well. And as I mentioned earlier, again, the market purchases were up significantly during the first quarter. You can see the difference in slice. There was a very large decrease in slice. Most of that was made up through increased market purchases at a much higher rate. You can see on average for the quarter, it was $123 per megawatt hour compared to just under 40 for the previous year, the same quarter. So again, a much higher rate for the market purchases. And this, the one thing I'll note, the megawatt hours, the price per megawatt hour, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt there. It's an average for the entire quarter. So that rate obviously changes significantly day to day. And again, it was much higher in the month of January than it was later in the quarter.
I'm surprised that the block is up so much. Can you speak to that last year?
I can't, but here's somebody who will do.
There's a couple factors here, one of which is a positive thing to talk through as well. So one is we have a contractual ceiling of how much BPA we can get. It goes, you know, our allocation goes up on an annual basis based on our load until we hit that ceiling, and we have not yet. We don't project to until, you know, after this 2028 contract expires. So we have experienced a lot of load growth recently, and that block portion is the portion of our contract that goes up. The other part of what's going on here is we have a negotiated settlement with BPA for this rate period. And that included an increase of winter block allocation for customers, something that we advocated for strongly and got into that negotiated settlement. So that's another part of where that volume comes from. It's about 14 to 15 average megawatts, depending on the month, but it's only inclusive of those winter months.
Thank you, Garrison. So to recap again, this is a repeat of slide two. The net income for the quarter was positive, lower than it was in the previous year, but still a positive $25 million. And revenue increased as well by $14 million for a total of $226 million. And again, the operating expenses were up significantly, most of that due to the purchase power costs. Operating metrics for the electric system, electric and generation operating reserves were somewhat consistent from year to year. The operating reserves were down a little bit, $152 million last year compared to $144 million this year. That's largely due to the operating expenses as well as some capital investments that were made during the year. But again, in total, the reserves were fairly consistent from year to year. The debt service coverage ratio, one thing that we monitor pretty closely in finance, that went down a little bit between last year and this year. That's a function of the debt going up because of the debt issuance that we had last year, as well as a decline in the net income. So it went from 3.8 to 3.6, but again, well above our target, which is under 2%. So this is 3.6% for the first quarter of 23. No changes to our bond ratings as well during the quarter. So on the megawatt hours build side, we did see a slight increase in the number for retail sales, rather, 2.5% increase. The wholesale sales were down significantly, but again, that was due to needing the power for our own customers rather than selling that power in the open market. Net write-offs were consistent from last year to this year. The average cost per kilowatt hour increased significantly, again, largely due to the increased demand, not just for Snowpod, but for other customers, and then the cost that we ended up having to pay in the open market for that share of the purchases. There is a slight decline in the number, or excuse me, a smaller increase in the number of customer connections, 1,000 this quarter, for quarter one of 23 compared to 2022. Moving on to the water system. We had net income for the water system for the quarter of $612,000 compared to $805,000 in the previous year. Revenue did go up by $295,000. So a larger number of customers there is a general rate increase for water as well, which we'll touch on more in a little bit. There was an increase in the capital contributions of $139,000 also, One other item that I'll mention here is on the purchase water side, we see a variance there of 476,000. We did have the Lake Stevens well that was down for a while, so that did increase the purchase power cost, or excuse me, the purchase water costs compared, especially quarter one of this year compared to quarter one of last year. But that well, I will mention, you likely know that already, is back online. That happened, I believe, in April of this year. Water system financial indicators, the operating reserve is down a little bit. Again, that's because the income is down a little bit compared to the quarter one of 22, as well as some capital costs that were incurred, some of which will be reimbursed from debt issuance later this year. And commissioners approved that resolution allowing for capital costs to be incurred now and reimbursed later this year through the debt issuance. Debt service coverage for the water system is higher, a little bit higher. So again, that's another metric that we track from year to year. Water system operating indicators, the volume of water sold increased by about 4.5%. The wholesale sales went up as well for the quarter compared to the previous year. There were additional customer connections, modest increase of 58 during the quarter compared to 84 in the previous year. The cost for the purchased water went up as well. You can see $1.64 to $1.86. And with that, are there any questions?
I have none. What about you?
I have no questions. I wonder if this would be a good time to take your receiver's questions.
It's more appropriate under Commission Business 7C.
Okay. We've never had public comment on their commission business.
Right, but that's. What do you think? Take this opportunity to hear from Mr. Keeler.
Sure, now it's fine.
Mr. Keeler, why don't you come up and talk to us about your questions or concerns?
My name is Stephen Keeler. Last name spelling K-E-E-L-E-R, resident of Edmonds, Washington. Thank you to the commission for the opportunity to comment. I believe I should start out identifying what I principally will be talking about, and that is a report that was given on May 9th. And if you look at the meeting minutes for that meeting, the afternoon session, it was item C, 2023 Treasury Budget Forecast and Major Status Report, March first quarter results. I provided the staff and the commission with a single page, which I assert is a page copy from that report. But in looking at the piece of paper, how do you know that? I want to take just a moment to talk about a mechanical issue, if you will, in generating reports. And what you just saw, the report you just saw, is another example. These reports being generated for you, commissioners, have on each page something called a header and a footer. The header and the footer on a page of a report is an opportunity to identify important information about the report and the page. I see a lack of consistency within the staff in presentations given to you in reports. I would like to see, and if you look at the paper I've given you, I would like to see either in the header or in the footer, the name of the report being presented. What you just saw had as a footer the name of the report, and it also had the date it was being presented. What you're looking at on the piece of paper in front of you has a footer, but it has no such information. Now, to a majority of the staff, and probably to you, this isn't significant. It isn't terribly significant, but to people using your information, your data at home, it can be very significant. These reports are very long, some of them, and a person can get lost if they print out a page and later try and identify which report it came from and when it was presented. I feel strongly about this, and I present it to you as an item of mechanics for you to consider. So, having said that, when I left that meeting on May 9th, I was concerned. What I heard about the financial condition for the final quarter of 22 and the first quarter of 23 had me concerned. And there were a lot of things I didn't understand, partly because I miss meetings, and partly because I'm not information available to you is not available to me. But I wondered about this going forward, and I thought to myself, well, I'm going to get a copy of something called The Wire with my bill at the end of the month of May, and I hope perhaps it will talk about this issue, this financial shortfall, I'll call it. I believe at the time it was projected to be between $40 and $45 million, and that number can change. So, sure enough, I got a copy of The Wire. It came with my May bill. And I apologize, I don't have copies to give you and the staff today, but I'm sure you get one with your bill too. So I looked at The Wire for this month of May, knowing what I had heard on May 9. And I see on the front page, there's a lot of happy news about Hydro Strong. And I would hope that it would be strong, teaching the hydro experts of the future. This is all good stuff to be in The Wire. So I flipped it over, and again, more good stuff. Happy news about a distribution engineer, a valued employee. Call 811 before you dig. Run for warmth is back. These are all good things to be in this publication. But commissioners, I have to wonder to you, is The Wire a vehicle for only good news? Couldn't The Wire serve us customers by, when there is potentially bad news, talking about it? I think there are an awful lot of residential customers that don't know what's going on, like they would if they were here at the meetings. And I think The Wire provides a valuable service, but I'm beginning to wonder if The Wire has a slant. Maybe it should be tilted a little more towards even.
Commissioner Wolf, that's 5 minutes.
Now, having said that, in concluding, I'm going to a report that is going to be given today. I'm looking at page 120, I believe, of that report, 2023 Treasury Budget Forecast and Projected Status Report. And I see on the page highlights for April, and I see three bullets. And the first bullet says very low hydro generation. You know, if I was preparing this report, I would have added a couple of words to that bullet. I would have said very low hydro generation by somebody. Is it by hydro generation within the PUD? Is it a BPA hydro generation issue? That bullet leaves me wondering, and I think it could be better constructed.
Mr. Keeler, unfortunately, we're over 5 minutes, but we want to hear you.
You're right.
We want to hear you, so.
Thank you for reminding me, and thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'll continue.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's good to hear from a customer's perspective in receiving this.
It is. It is. And so thank you for preparing your thoughts and preparing this handout. It's page 142 on 164 total, page 142. Okay.
All for the
are there any other comments from the public regarding the monitoring report?
There are none.
Okay. Do you have any questions or comments?
I have none.
Okay. So I'll call for the vote. Next motion, please vote aye.
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 Aye. The motion is approved. Now we're going to consider a resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to execute an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County regarding miscellaneous road maintenance services. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Brad Spangler is available to answer any questions regarding this resolution. Does anyone have questions for Mr. Spangler? Okay, any comments from the public?
Just to note for the record, we have been briefed on this previously.
Right. Any comments from the public regarding the resolution?
There are none.
Any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
No.
No, other than to agree.
Right, as you say, it has been presented. So I will call for the vote. Vote nay, aye for yes and nay for no.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is approved. Now we're going to go on to part six of the agenda, CEO General Manager's Report. Are there any reports? Mr. Harlow?
Yes, I have a couple items I'd like to share. First one, since we didn't have a media update this morning, I will provide a couple items. First, the NWPPA's June bulletin included an article on our repower safety program. And there was also significant and great coverage of our Camino Island transmission project on K5 on Thursday, June 8th. This story has also been picked up by APPA and T&D World. We have completed the 2022 and 23 school year for our elementary school program. Our six contract teachers taught 980 lessons, resulting in nearly 23,000 student hours of instruction. This work took place in 70 public and private elementary schools in all 15 school districts that we serve. We had two significant projects that went live over this weekend with a considerable amount of work. The first one was the build redesign. This project started back in 2019. We began with a review of our existing build, conducted focus groups and listened to our customers to improve our build layout, which we are transitioning to today. Most pertinent information will be displayed higher up. The detailed information moved down or to the back. Consistent text and icon use will improve readability and added more color, making it easier to find what you need. Information on how customers can contact the district is also more prominent with icons to draw attention. The new bill also supports the additional information that comes from AMI to support any new rates that may be added, such as time of use. For more information, you can see a sample new bill on snowpud.com, hashtag new bill. And this is just the first phase of the improvements. But the new bills are going out, are being printed as of today. So that's very exciting. And again, a tremendous amount of work since 2019,
yes.
Culminating in this past weekend, folks working throughout the weekend to get that cut over and go live. Also, Connect Up this past weekend, the software go live was completed. This was again a monumental task. It took about 24 hours, starting on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. A huge congratulations and thank you to all the district employees who played a part in this important go live. More than 50 district experts were involved in the system integration project and helped with that going live. The system's now up and running. District is ready for the deployment of advanced meters. System is now in hypercare phase of the project and will remain in that phase for the next 90 days. Our first advanced meters will be deployed next week during the friends and family portion of the project. And the system integration teams will be monitoring the data flow throughout the system as the new meters are turned on. Team has just done a tremendous job to carefully plan and deploy the massive project. which again is the foundation for being the utility of the future for our customers. Good news, continuing good news in our customer and energy services, the utility grants for customer arrearages. We are working with Commerce for an additional grant allocation. The latest information shows that we are tentatively granted an additional $5.15 million. Additional funding will bring the total assistance for our customers to roughly $16.4 million. This amount could change as we continue to review data with Commerce. And while we work through the details, we're excited for the additional funding for those customers that are in need. And just an update out of HR, union negotiations are not negotiations haven't started. We are getting all the subcommittees and pre-teams put in place. We have a benefit advisory committee, retirement advisory committee, leaves advisory, compensation advisory, business operations advisory, which is actually a new one to help improve some of the communication, the consistency in communication through leadership. These committees have started meeting. And doing a lot of the pre-work again as we head into negotiations towards the latter part of this year. And just one item for my agenda, we are doing the final APPA CEO interviews this Friday in Seattle. That is it. Happy day. Answer any questions.
Just say that's overwhelming, all of that.
And lots of good stuff.
All the people who are involved in all that. If Mr. Talley's still listening, he heard more about the rollout. And he could hear all of your comments. Everybody can hear them on the recording of this afternoon session on our website. Thank you.
Go ahead. Did you have a comment? Oh, I had a comment on the work on the bail design. So important. It really is in terms of user, what you call user friendly. I can, you know, we all probably pay our bills on our phones or whatever, and those websites that really don't hit the spot are very difficult to deal with. Now, I happen to believe that what we have right now is pretty good, but I'm looking forward to that. And on Connect Hub, I think I sent a note that started with, I'm a happy camper. I mean, this thing is finally, you know, major, major hurdles. And I was thinking back, you know, when this was on the shelf, it had to have been in 2010. It was, I know it was the end of my first term. I mean, it was a long time ago. And to see you and staff pick it up, and in actually a relatively short period of time, get us to where we are today. I'm so darn proud. I really am.
Yeah, I am super proud of both of those projects. Again, I just can't say enough good things about the entire team working on all of those, and both of those, and getting them across the finish line. Just amazing.
I have to share a personal note. I was almost afraid to open my PUD bill yesterday because we got rid of all of our gas and we went all electric. You know, the rain, all of that. And it was less than the previous month. How did that happen? I don't know.
You probably need to check your meter.
No, well, we were very happy and hope it. But I do put my laundry out. I do save on dryers. So thank you. Thank you for all of your report. Thank you.
John, is there an update on the team in
12?
Oh, yeah. Briefly, and I meant to put that in. I'm glad you teed that up. The team is over there.
Excuse me, could you repeat the question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The team in Guam.
Yeah, the mutual assistance crews that
yeah.
we sent
yeah.
to Guam.
Yeah.
They're over there. They're doing well. They said that heat and humidity is absolutely brutal. They're drinking lots of water, trying to stay hydrated. They're getting some good work. It was a little slow kind of getting things underway, but they are doing work. I heard back from the two crew leaders and the general foreman that's over there, all in great spirits. Everybody's doing well. We believe the trucks, the two big transmission trucks and the one mechanic truck, are going to fly out of SeaTac tomorrow to be transported over there to Guam on the big, I forget the name of the plane, but it's the biggest cargo plane in the world that's going to transport the trucks over there.
C5.
Oh, it is a C5, not? Okay. T5.
That's a military.
I thought it was, yeah.
Is that a military?
Yeah.
Okay. And another thing that I wasn't aware of, but what went into this for many departments, especially legal, there was a lot involved that our senior counsel had to work on with his team.
Yeah.
So it was a multi-team approach to get that done. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well said, Commissioner Wolf. Colin and his team and all the teams, you know, pulling all the logistics together, the equipment, the materials, just everything. It's a monumental effort. And yeah, very proud that we're over there helping.
Yeah, I am too. Thank you.
No brown tree snake. Sorry.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, did you hear that one?
Brown tree snake. They have a snake in one that has lots of electrical outages.
Oh, really?
Well, yes. We have our squirrels. They have their snakes.
It's not a good one.
I was thinking of the humidity, big bugs. High humidity.
Bugs, snakes.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Wow, it's hard to leave that topic behind. Moving on to commission business. Do you have any commission reports?
No, not a report, but you know, to address what Mr. Keeler said, I think we do have the capacity and the obligation to share on bad news when it's happened. I think in this case we're a little premature. We're still understanding what the situation is and if it'll have an impact on the ratepayer. I noticed that we're going to look at here in a couple of agenda items. The estimate now is $11 million higher our net income than that one from last month. So
good point.
I think we're still.
Good point.
But,
yeah.
But I do think it is important to share good news and the not so good news.
Well, the not so good news with the fact that a whole lot's going on in terms of mitigating that. And one of the big ones is cutting our costs.
And I think we haven't come to understand whether that's going to affect our rate forecast.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So I think that's.
Yeah.
But I've always said, and I believe I've said it many times here, that it's important for people in the public to understand more of the whole picture and what we're doing to deal with the challenges. And I think it's more acceptable to most people that they know it's not always 100% positive. So why not let it be known, you know, that, yeah, there are challenges and we're dealing with them, and here's how we're dealing with them. And I think we've done a lot of that, but always, I think it's a problem for the communications team, how to help communicate that. So, but I appreciate your concerns that you brought. As far as reports, we've had some meetings. So since the last meeting, we had a luncheon or dinner, it was, for elected officials, which all three of us attended.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, that's right. But our clerk, Allison Morrison, attended with us. So, and then we have a lot of new things coming up. We have our APPA, well, that's on the, it's more on the, calendar. We are looking forward to the APPA conference. And I know our general manager is on the, going to be, what are you now? On the, your executive committee, right? On the executive committee. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. And we'll try to put together a little report for the next meeting after that happens. All right, Commissioner events. Do we have any changes to the commissioner event calendar?
I have not.
A part of the report that I overlooked is that we did have a very good special meeting for the commissioners. We had a workshop, commissioners workshop, kind of, some people would call it a retreat, but it was a workshop, and it was, we had Colin with us and the general manager and Melissa and Allison and the three of us. That was very fruitful, I think. And let's see, now, any no changes to the calendar?
Yeah, no.
Okay. So now we'll move on to the Treasury, 2023 Treasury Budget Forecast and Major Project Status Report for April. Sarah Bond, are you available? You are available to answer any questions regarding the report. Do you want to respond to anything you heard from Mr. Keeler? Scott Jones.
This is just to keep with the trend that when I take my sport coat off and I sit in the back of the room, I'm routinely asked to comment on something. So, a couple of quick things, and I appreciate Mr. Keeler's comments. Thank you very much. We're always soliciting feedback on anything we put in the packages. We always want to hear anything you have to say about format, about content, about anything. We did find somebody, I don't know who identified it, but it's my fault. We found a mistake in the report on the budget column. We've got another revenue number in there that's not right, so we'll make sure we fix that. Doesn't impact the forecast column. The one thing I would follow up with Mr. Keeler and all the things we're talking about the financial issues, we have worked very hard in the last month or so as a leadership team to update the forecast that you're seeing in your package now. One of the reasons why I would say it's not reached the level that we are treating it as a big communications concern is because we are working hard internally to make sure that it's not rising to that level. We back in that May meeting, I think I was the one that talked for a while here, filling in for John, about what we were seeing in the first quarter and looking at a $40 to $45 million number. In the last several weeks, the leadership team, lots and lots of people around the district have worked very hard to come up with a list of things. We've seen a little bit of an uptick in revenue in April, which helped. We've seen an uptick in investment income, which helped. And we've done a really, really good job, I think, internally of finding some other places for cost containment and for project deferrals. So I want to commend a lot of people that have done a lot of really good work on that front. We think we've got a good reset now. We're working a plan that I think will put us in better shape. And then fingers crossed that for the balance of the year, things will play out the way we've planned. So I'm hopeful that it's going to shake out in an okay place. I told you in May, and I'll say it again, that it certainly is going to have us having some tough conversations in the budget season coming up.
Yes.
We are no doubt going to take a hard look at the project plan for the next 1 to 3 to 5 years and try to get a new reset on how we're going to stage those deferrals out. But we're very optimistic right now that we think we're going to weather at least this part of this concern. And we've got a good plan, I think. And so, can't say enough about a lot of the managers and leaders around the district that really jumped in very, very quickly, responded to this, and really came up, helped us come up with a really good plan. So I'm appreciative of that. John, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add.
No, I agree. I think Scott kind of presented the problem. We were kind of knee deep in figuring out, working with the teams, having managers go back, look at their budgets and coming up with that plan. And that plan is just, again, to try to project where we think we may land. It's gonna be really important for us to manage throughout the year, almost real time, just kind of throttle up, throttle back as necessary as we see the revenues for the latter part of the year coming.
Yeah, developing the 2024 budget is a very challenging process, but I know you'll get it done. I know you'll get it done well, and we know you're working hard on it.
Yeah, and I'm not working hard on anything. There's a whole lot of other people that are working really hard. Sarah and Andrew in our budget group, and we've got a lot of budget coordinators around the district in each of the divisions that do a lot of really good work there. And so I can't compliment them enough. We're asking a lot out of those folks this year because normally we've got a forecast and we try to kind of plan into that forecast year after year. But this is kind of a reset year, and I've been doing this for a long time. And every so often, a company kind of has a reset moment where we kind of have to take a deep breath and start from scratch again. And that's what we're having to do this year. And so it's going to be a reset year. We've got a lot of work that folks are going to be doing to kind of get that reset for the 24 budget. But I'm appreciative of all that work.
Coaches talk about a building year. You're talking about reset year.
Yeah, it's we're definitely having a rebuilding year. That's exactly right.
Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you all.
I like what I'm hearing, having been through it a number of times. That's a tough road to hoe in terms of making those kind of dramatic cuts. And I so appreciated that we learned about it up front early. Confidence that you recognized it, you're going to have a plan to deal with it, and it's going to ebb and flow. And yeah, we're going to have some tough decisions next year. But I personally would rather know about it early.
Yeah.
And I recognize how difficult it is, you know, with things being and the unknowns. And that I believe in these instances that we have a unique set of circumstances that are external to the organization that are driving some of this. And they're unique, and I don't know what storms they say, it's once in a lifetime or whatever, but I feel confident that you're on top of it, you know what needs to be done, and you will minimize the overall impact as best you can.
I appreciate you saying that, and that's definitely our goal, right? And we are not in the business of avoiding transparency. As long as I'm here and the rest of the leadership team is here, we'll do everything we can to make sure the transparency is priority number one. So we're going to be as transparent as possible with you right to that 15 or 20 minutes we spent on it at the commission meeting back in May. And one of the things that Mr. Keeler pointed out, we did, not to be flippant about it, but everybody had a low hydro quarter. The whole region had a low hydro quarter. And so what you're referencing is what turned out to be a fairly unprecedented first quarter from a hydro perspective. And Garrison and Jason and a lot of the teams on the power supply side and the risk management side have been working very, very hard to both track it and monitor it and figure out how to forecast it. But we had an interesting and unfortunate curveball first quarter.
Well, we've been living in this for what, 4 years? Thanks to COVID. Just kind of gone downhill from there.
I think that we just have to hope and pray that we don't have a big fire season, that we don't have low hydro again next year.
I've already been talking to everyone internally to light prayer candles for no good.
Yeah, no. And I was thinking about Mike Shapley and these reports that he gives us on the water.
Mike and Peter was in here earlier.
I don't see him today.
Folks on the risk management side have been working very hard to try to come up with much creative solutions.
As Commissioner Olson said, those are things we don't have control over. But we've done a good job to think ahead about like our program on fire prevention, you know, in the forests, and doing our part. We can't do it statewide, but we can do our part here. Yeah,
we've got a lot of very smart people doing everything they can to respond.
As Commissioner said to Marie Morrison, you're really smart.
Yeah, I'm routinely
we can say that to every one of our staff people. You're really smart.
We are very fortunate to have the abundance of hydro that we have, but the one thing that does come with hydro that is a little bit different or unique to other types of generating resources is you are weather dependent. The cold, the amount of rainfall certainly drives the amount of hydro. Mm-hmm. And you're in one of those unusual years combined with where the market has gone from a pricing perspective. So we have to be able to manage this. This is just part of our business and running a utility in the Pacific Northwest that is hydro dependent. So it's about learning from this experience, figuring out how we use what we learn going into the future, knowing that there's lots of different dynamics that are going to change how we need to do business in the future.
Amen to that. I mean, there are so many exciting new avenues like hydrogen and other, you know, resources that we're exploring. And I think there's going to be a lot of hope for some of the new resources that if hydro isn't going to be abundantly, you know, reliable, we need to think about the whole picture.
Well, that's exactly what Garrison is doing right now.
I agree, but hope is not the strategy.
No, the strategy that I'm referring to is looking at new ways to support new forms of energy and conservation, energy efficiency, and all of that big picture.
Yeah, so, I can honestly say the district is doing an all of the above strategy.
I think
Garrison and his team.
Yes.
And you know, we had a lot of them earlier. They're thinking about these things and exploring every possible avenue we can to make sure got a good portfolio.
Yeah, we are very fortunate to have the caliber of people that we have working on this.
Yeah.
Hello, can you? Like you had a question.
Yes, I have. So we have a fair amount of contingency reserves. Are those going to be, is that going to be part of the equation? Are we going to consider potentially the use of those? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but as I think about putting projects off, I want to make sure we're not. We're not hurting our system.
No, it's a really good question, Commissioner Logan, and it's something that we've talked a lot about internally. We haven't really talked about it as much with you because we haven't really gotten to the point yet where I feel like we need to be worried about tapping into those monies. The short version here is we've got standard operating reserves, and if in fact you saw some of this in the slide earlier when Sean put up. Standard operating reserves, we've got a debt management reserve that we're kind of holding in our one pocket, and then we've got a contingency reserve we're sort of holding in our other pocket. The way the resolutions on those reserves work, we can tap into them with your approval, and so we'd be coming to you and asking to do that. If we did that, we would also need to talk to you and come to you with a repayment plan. The way those reserves are working right now, if we tapped into that contingency reserve, we could do it, give us a much needed influx of cash, but we'd have to work out a plan to repay that back over the couple budget seasons. And so what I'm wanting to do, and this is just me talking, but what my general thought has been is I want to hold on to the debt management reserve for a time when we can't get to the market for bonds in a good and economic way. And so long as the bond market is cooperative and the rates are looking okay, and right now they still are, I'd like to hold on to that and keep it in our pocket, because I think a good use of it would be down the road if the bond market blew up, if interest rates blew up, and then in lieu of borrowing money, we've got that available for our capital program. The contingency reserve can be tapped for a wide variety of different things. And I think if the wheels really came off the wagon later this year and we really got into what I would call a pretty serious crisis mode, we had multitudes of storms, we had other things that really started compounding our problems, I think I'd be back to you wanting to talk about a plan for the contingency reserve. But that very intentionally was down the list of actions we wanted to
take.
So it's there, and it's something that John and I talked about as a sort of third, fourth, fifth step. But our first priority was, let's get everybody mobilizing on a containment and deferral plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great question. We do have the money sitting there if we need it in a pinch. We're not there yet, in my view.
So you answered my question, which is, It's one of the tools.
Absolutely, one of the tools.
Well, let's make it lower down.
Yeah, it's.
Tony's very sensitive about that contingency.
So.
It's on the list below.
The sinking reserve, what is the status of that? What is that really about?
Well, we've got a variety of different reserves. One, a couple of those reserves are required sinking, and bond reserve, for example, are required under bond resolutions that we have to hold on to certain money, build the money up, use it for bond repayments. Sometimes, think about it this way. When you go borrow money to build a house, the bank may say, hey, I want you to hold on to X amount of dollars just because I want you to have this much capital in your pocket. We have to abide by similar kinds of rules. So when we, so long as we're out borrowing bond money, we're going to have certain kinds of bond funds or for reserve funds related to those bond proceeds that we'll have to hold on to just so that we can show the bond community that we're solvent, we've got cash sitting set aside. So some of those reserves that you're seeing, we don't really pay a lot of attention to them when it comes to crisis management, because they're just sort of part of the requirements of bond resolutions and banking institution requirements that we have. So we sort of park those to the side, and you'll see those. They don't move a lot. They're pretty stable. We've got some benefit reserves, for example, that we hold on to as well. And those things are just kind of parked to the side. That's why when I'm talking about available funds to potentially use, operating reserve, debt management reserve, contingency reserve, those are the big ones. The other ones are varying kinds of requirements that we'll just kind of keep with different accounts. Does that help, Commissioner?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
That was more than I intended, but I hope I answered all your questions.
Oh, it's always good to have your broad perspective and the depth of your experience. I heard you say that, I can't quote you, but you said just a few minutes ago, something about, are you going to have these years? You've seen that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens to all EVs or energy companies of any kind.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've seen this before, and John and I have talked about this a lot, that the goal is budgets and forecasts, let's keep on a good trend. Every once in a while, one of my previous bosses used to say, every once in a while, your chess pieces get knocked in the floor, and so you have to kind of reset the table.
Oh boy.
So we're doing a table reset.
Uh-huh.
But I can say honestly that so far, everything's looking really good and promising.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
Anything else? All right. Thank you.
That's good.
I just have a comment. Thank you, Sarah and team. I really appreciate this report. It gives us so much situational awareness, not just the finances, but all of the
very good information.
Yeah, it's really an excellent report.
And Amanda and all of the team, thank you. Let's see, where were we? Are there any other questions regarding this regarding the report?
No, I have none.
Okay.
I have no more.
So, governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
No. I do see the addition of, I believe you, Commissioner Logan, are doing the Jackson Jubilee.
Right, yay. Thanks, Mr. Spann.
August 24th.
Working with Melissa and others, we'll get to go for our first trip to Jackson. We've always had a conflict whenever there was a tour or a visit. So, anyway. Not your fault.
It won't disappoint.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Well, at least you're going in August, where I'm sure.
Yeah.
The times I've been up there, it's been.
I still want to go.
We've got to measure the snow depth.
I want to go in by helicopter. So. All right, no changes to the governance planning calendar. Is there any further business to come before the board?
I have none.
I have none.
In that case, hearing none, it is 3:04 p.m. and the meeting is now adjourned.